This call may be recorded. Press 1 to accept.
Hello?
This call may be recorded. Press 1 to accept.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, that was a long meeting.
I'm good.
What's up?
What?
Said what's up?
I am sorry that we are on such a roller coaster. I genuinely did call you yesterday to tell you we shouldn't and wouldn't be talking anymore. But then we had that silly argument where I was upset that you wouldn't say yes or no. And then after that, I felt like you were really honest with me and safe. So
best I can.
Yeah, I enjoyed spending.
Well,
I mean, it would have been a lot easier if you just said no the first time I asked you. Because after that, I really had a good time with you.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you were doing, if you were trying to make a point or what, but it's just not a nice way to treat. I know, but it's like, you just were rude about it. You were accusing me of, like, making up that you hadn't answered me when you definitely had, and that was just, it was just not a nice way to treat me at all. It was a big enough question that it deserved a clear answer. Anyways, I really did enjoy my time with you last night.
Thank you. I enjoyed our time together too.
I feel like it would be really smart of us to do some high yield short term investments. And I feel like the only way I know to do that is real estate, because that's what I know. But before I went too far with that, I just wanted to check in with you on whether we should be capitalizing on the artificial dip in the stock market by, I don't even know, I don't understand how you sell stocks that you don't have.
you borrow them from other investors, but I would not recommend that.
Okay. I mean, that would take a lot of money somehow? No.
Yeah, it would take money.
Just
yeah,
like
collateral.
Oh, okay. So you're securing it in case you end up losing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but there's a, basically the loss that you could theoretically experience is unlimited because stocks could go, So yeah, I mean, we literally at Fidelity, like, repoed people's houses because they made a wrong move. But
yeah.
They only get so much collateral, which is for what is expected, you know, just like a house. You know, you got
yeah.
quote to value ratio at a certain percent that you think is going to cover you, but it doesn't always cover you. So.
Well, you can't say it's literally unlimited. All you can lose is the full value of what you sold.
Yeah,
right?
When you sell, no, because when you sell short, you're taking another client at that stockbroker. You're taking shares from another client at the stockbroker,
yep.
and you're selling them.
Yep.
So you owe that person back those shares, and the price of those shares could theoretically climb forever. But that obviously is not very likely, but you're just saying there's an unlimited amount that you would have to spend to buy those shares back in order to replace those shares for that customer, which you're obligated to do.
Oh, okay.
I think, I don't know, I was thinking about it in our meeting today because I was watching the stock market. I think that the move for us to get us in the best position might be to consider selling an additional property before the economy really tanks.
It's
looking kind of hairy to me right now. So the key would be to try and sell it relatively soon before real estate prices to pay off of our high interest debt, and then hopefully have some leftover to reinvest at a lower price. But we've got a lot of equity, at least on the books right now.
Yeah.
Where you could do other investing. I don't think that it's out of the question to be able to tap some of that.
Yeah.
I just don't know about the advisability of doing that without taking care of their credit cards first.
Yeah. Are you feeling like all the new building is about to stop?
I was wondering about it today. We're all sitting in this meeting talking about properties, and the stock market was down like 7%.
But nobody there, of course, is really keyed into that. That you guys are just building the houses that are on demand at this moment.
Right. I have to go back and look because I was wondering if this company was, like, basically started after the last downturn or if they survived the last downturn.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, you're thinking, like, the stock market could just affect everything across the board so that there's, like, a housing crisis again?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically an indicator of the broader economy.
What?
Stock market is representative of the broader economy. So if it's tanking like it's doing today, or has been doing for a couple of weeks, that combined with the fact that oil prices are collapsing and the way that the yield curve is looking and everybody's gearing up for this to be a big event. So that occurring in the economy, in the stock market, basically correlates extremely well to the overall economy, and that would mean that we're looking at a really weak period for the economy right now.
Yeah, it's just that last time we had a housing crisis, it was because everybody was able to take out, like, ridiculous mortgages that weren't consistent with what houses were actually worth relative to people's earnings and paychecks.
Yeah, I would.
Whereas right now, people actually can't afford their mortgages. Like, the mortgages are somewhat in line with what people are actually earning. So unless there's going to be massive layoffs, it's going to cause houses to foreclose.
Well,
I think shouldn't be like last time.
I don't know. I don't look at the ratios well enough to know exactly how it compares to last time. I can just tell you my gut instinct on it is they've continued to subsidize all the loans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's continued to support high real estate prices.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that it could be like last time, and I do think that we could have layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to figure out, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to really know what this virus thing is going to actually look like.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm excited that you're still interested in real estate.
Oh, good.
Since I'm eligible to get a contractor's license, I can do that. And
good.
The next real estate thing happens, I'll be in a much better position to take advantage.
Good. Well, I kind of am looking at not being able to go to law school, just because the more I've analyzed our financial situation, like we just can't, you know?
Right.
I think. We just can't, like. Like, actually,
do that for the kids.
What's that?
Financially, we could, but I don't think that we should do that to the kids.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
Yeah, I'm sure if you wanted to go to law school, they would give you students to go to law school.
Exactly. But I mean, I was kind of at a point of going, well, gosh, I'd have to go to law school in Jacksonville instead of Gainesville and kind of have my mom be homeschooling our kids while I'm taking classes. But, you know, what you're looking at is me being like outside of the house full time.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that.
Yeah, and then of course in the 3 years following that, I'd have to be working, you know, in order to make that time have been worth it.
Right.
So anyways, right now I'm looking at getting my real estate license again, because that provides the actual like work hour flexibility,
right,
that I was wanting when I was looking at being a lawyer. Because I was looking at the fact that a lawyer could work 20 hours a week and make $50,000 a year.
Right.
But that doesn't have the scalability of saying, ooh, this month I need to, you know, only work whatever, 5 hours a week. And, oh, my goodness, this month I better just buckle down and work 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
I think real estate agents in the right, under the right realtor can do that kind of thing.
Yeah. There's a guy that at Honey Lake that I can tell you about that kind of has a schedule like that. That's pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just goes in line. I think your idea about doing something that as a lawyer probably would not work very well, because I don't think you could take the comp of a full-time lawyer and just assume that you would get half that working half the time. I think you're marketability.
No, I've looked into it, and I'm not talking about being flexible. I'm talking about being consistently part-time.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying is I could say I'm going to work 20 hours a week, but then I would be stuck, like, having to work 20 hours a week, no matter how much my kids need me and no matter how much I need more money during a certain month. Like, it's, you know what I mean? And probably without vacation, like, it'd be a tied down kind of thing. Which, again, I'm talking about the first 3 years being in school, I'm not making any money for that. So,
right.
You know what I mean? So that $50,000 a year is really $25,000 a year if you average out the first 6 years of it.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd be way better off just, like, working as a real estate agent from the get-go, because that takes virtually no time to get started.
And I think you could be great at it, and probably...
Exactly.
I think you'd be a great lawyer, but you might have more joy doing that, too, honestly.
No, I would have enjoyed being a lawyer. But, I mean, that's... And just so you know, kind of going back through the course, I'm feeling a lot of sadness about how you shut me down last time I was trying to get my license.
I remember doing that.
Yeah, you were building a whole software program to find distressed property targets, and you were coming up with, like, yellow letter systems and mail outs, and you decided that me having a license would cause you to have to disclose that, and you thought that having to disclose that to the distressed sellers would somehow, like, change your image in their eyes and make the deals less likely to go through.
Well, I was wrong about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I was making pretty big sacrifices in terms of, like, my time, and I had, like, I was pregnant and breastfeeding and had little kids and having to keep them out of your way while you were amping up all of those systems, in addition to, like, studying for taking the licensing exam, and I actually went through the entire course, and I just didn't take the exam based on, you know, you saying that that would hurt your business.
I should not have done that. I'm sorry.
Thanks. And, like, at the time you were kind of talking like, in order to be a good real estate agent, you have to put so much into it. And I was, like, even at Sean Gossett's house, I was explaining how I thought I could just be a good buyer's agent, like, if I only worked the buyer's end and didn't have to manage listings or be aggressive in marketing or, you know, all the stuff that goes with listing a house.
Yeah.
And you kind of poo-pooed that, too. You said, well, what's the value of a buyer's agent? And that's not really something that's worth anything to anybody. And the real value of a real estate agent is the seller's agent, and Sean and I were kind of defending it, going, no, there's real value in being somebody on the buyer's end who can help negotiate things and get the right stuff into place.
I completely agree with that, and I don't know what I was thinking at the time, but my perspective on it right now, having looked into it, spoken with agents, and I think that the more significant profits of a real estate agent are typically in listing.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
That's where you make more money for less effort, typically. I think most leverage the role of the buyer's agent as a marketing gimmick to give additional listing, kind of the rationale for doing that part of it. But I would be happy for you to do whatever.
Yeah.
I think you'd be really good at that.
Yeah. So my real estate investment that I thought would be kind of low risk, low investment at this point, was, I don't know what you call it, demolish and sell a buildable lot.
Okay.
But it sounds like with what you're saying about the market, this is a bad time for that.
I'd be nervous.
Because you're speculating that there are going to be people who want to do a new build at the same rate that they're doing right now in 6 months, and you don't know that they're going to be wanting to do it in 6 months like they are right now.
Exactly. Although, I don't think it takes that long necessarily to demolish a lot, but...
Yeah. And I was also, I don't know specifically if you can get a lot that has like a, say like a 70-year-old single family that is, I don't know what you'd call it, you know, not necessarily salvageable, but it's zoned that you're, but it's zoned for a mobile home. Like
probably,
I don't know how helpful that is to people who are the type of people in Yulee who would go to the mobile home lot and buy something brand new, but feel limited to putting it on an empty lot right now.
Honestly, that's something that I really don't know that much about, so I would call it building department with the county and make sure there's no gotchas with something like that. I would think that they would be motivated to prevent people from doing mobile homes in a lot of areas where they're doing development.
Yeah. Well, but I guess what I'm talking about is me being smart enough to look for the gotchas and me being smart enough to, like, go through all of the steps is a value add. To the uneducated type of people who are going to buy a new mobile home in the first place.
Right.
They don't have that option. They don't have the option of shopping dilapidated single family homes as a place to put their brand new mobile home.
Sure.
Like, I'm making a lot available for that that otherwise wouldn't have been.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. I am interested to, are you aware of the fact that your parents are thinking about getting Jeremy a place?
No.
The house that they had me go look at was, like, probably not worth renovating. Yeah, their idea was to put him in it and have him do the work over time. Which I presume means him and the girlfriend. Although, if I say that, I have no clue if those two are either even still together or not.
But yeah. I mean...
It seemed like a terrible idea, honestly, all around. Like, the house didn't seem like it was worth doing anything with, and then I can't imagine that Jeremy would be able to do that project. And if he did, it would take literally years. And I just don't know that I would trust him to do it, really. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was, like, so run down that I just wonder about I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with Jeremy, but with him being involved in that drug culture and everything, I just wonder if you put him in a terrible place like that, if he doesn't deteriorate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
I basically thought it was a bad idea to do anything with that house. I'm going to tear it down. So.
You thought it was a tear down?
Just
objectively,
yeah.
You thought it was a tear down?
Yeah. It had multiple slab cracks, and part of it was off-grade, and the floor was all rotted out and caving in, and just didn't make any sense to do anything with it.
Yeah.
To tear it down. It might be a perfect study for what you're talking about, honestly. It was kind of out in the country.
How much was it?
I think he said he wanted to try and get it for like 70-something.
Oh, okay.
And it had a couple nice outbuildings and seemed like a pretty decent-sized lot. So.
Yeah. The place I was looking at, though, that was giving me the idea was $26,000 for, like,
yeah.
An acre and a half in an area in an area where an empty acre goes for $60,000.
Yeah, I like that.
You know. And I don't know whether
that
the demo...
That definitely sounds like it's got...
I don't know whether the demo cost $3,000 or cost $15,000.
Probably closer to $15,000.
Yeah, and then obviously I don't know all, like you said, the gotchas of the building codes and what you're able to do with it after.
Yeah.
But still, I think being willing to do that part of it. That other people don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
It's worthwhile. And you know, MCG's always looking for teardowns, but they want it to be within, like, 2 miles of downtown Fernandina.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's how they know that they're not taking on a big risk, because of the location.
I was just thinking, that would be a perfect lot.
They're doing it themselves.
Yeah. Right. But I was thinking, like, that'd be a perfect lot for if I wanted to try American Classic's business model on my own. You could get that lot for $25,000, probably build one of our houses on it for $60,000 or $70,000, and end up selling it retail for, I don't know, pushing two, I bet, if it's out in Newley.
I don't know. I don't know if people, I mean, I'm talking about like the, you know, like Anna's neighborhood. Like, I don't think people pay $200,000 to live in that neighborhood.
No, so maybe it's for a nice new house, $140,000, $150,000, they'll be making like $50,000 for one house.
Yeah, and it doesn't take very long.
Right.
It's a nice thing. You're not talking about a year-long project. And if I can list it myself, like my realtor would appreciate the income.
Yeah. All right, Mama. I'm about to have to go talk to my vendors. I just got to my first site.
Okay.
I'd say that doesn't sound out of the question, but we'd have to either get an investor or use hard money or something. And obviously we haven't done. There's a lot of, we say low risk, there's a lot of parts to that we haven't done before, so I personally wouldn't categorize that as low risk.
Yeah. No, I would consider
different type of risk.
Yeah, I would consider that high risk, high risk, high yield.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, did you do what I asked you to do last night?
I have not done that yet, but I will do it today.
Okay. Maybe you really should get in, like, a notebook for writing down, like, I don't know what you call them, assignments people give you.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. And maybe, like, a designated fountain pen just for that notebook.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
All right. I love you.
All right. Bye.